Connecting the pieces.
The news seems to be coming in fast and hard these days, with some being more important than others. In Washington, D.C., hearings were held this week on Benghazi and the role that Hillary Clinton played while she was Secretary of State. This has been a big talking point for the Republicans for years now, who feel that she had a role in the death of a U.S. diplomat and several of the soldiers that attempted to rescue him. And while Clinton has been able to deflect any allegations of wrongdoing so far, the impression that she did have something to do with the attack on the U.S. Embassy in Libya has stuck with many Americans. And while the hearings have been front-page news for some time, how many people in the United States know that there's a fire that is creeping ever so close to a nuclear waste facility? In fact, it's only about one football field away, about 100 yards, and that this fire has been burning for years. The Australian news website is reporting that the fire at Bridgeton Landfill near St. Louis has been burning since at least 2010, and a plan for a worst-case scenario was developed only a year ago and was never publicized until last week. That's right, a fire in a landfill has been burning for nearly 5 years. Furthermore, authorities have been unable to put it out. Now, the website goes on to say that directly next to the Bridgeton Landfill is Westlake Landfill. And the Westlake facility was contaminated with radioactive waste from a uranium processing by a St. Louis company. And the nuclear waste was illegally dumped back in 1973 and includes material that dates back to the Manhattan Project, which, of course, created the first atomic bomb in the 1940s. Crazy, right? The nuclear waste problem from 60-some years ago still hasn't been solved. And now, it could be an even bigger problem today. The article goes on to note that if the underground fire reaches the waste, there's potential for a radioactive fallout to be released in a smoke plume and spread throughout the region. The plan calls for evacuations and development of emergency shelters. Private and volunteer groups and perhaps the federal government would be called upon to help, depending on the severity of the emergency. Now, did you get that wording? The severity of the emergency dictates who would respond. First, it would be private groups. And who are these private groups? The second group would be the volunteers, and the third group to respond would be the federal government. So basically, the government would only step in a last resort manner. Let's say if the other two groups failed. That's reassuring thought, right? But this isn't the only case where nuclear safety issues have made the news in the last week. Now, the Wall Street Journal reported that a nuclear radiation monitoring system enhanced after the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks isn't working as intended, with nearly three-quarters of the stations not checking for a type of radiation in real time, including ones in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. The article goes on to note that Environmental Protection Agency officials confirmed 99 out of 135 beta radiation sensors in its RadNet system, which monitors all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico, aren't working and have been turned off. Yep, you heard that last part right. A system that was designed to make the lives of everyday Americans safer doesn't work, so the feds just turned it off. Now, the newspaper goes on to note that officials blame electromagnetic interference from sources such as telephone towers and said that efforts to resolve the problem have been unsuccessful. Now, questioning this decision, Daniel Hirsch, a lecturer on nuclear policy at the University of California, Santa Cruz, asked, if real-time beta measurements were unnecessary, why did the government spend money installing the capability in the first place? Now, putting the two stories together, maybe this is why, as the Australian news website reports that last month, the Missouri Attorney General, Chris Koster, said that he was troubled by new reports about the site. One report found radiological contamination in trees outside the landfill's perimeter. That's right, it appears that there is at least a small radiation leak, leading to at least enough contamination that a state attorney general would become aware of it. But without the sensors working, the feds can neither confirm nor deny this story. Pretty convenient, right? Or maybe the radiation detecting sensors were turned off because, as the Shanghai Daily reports, the west coast of America is to be slammed by 2016 with 80% as much Fukushima radiation as Japan. 80%! That's right. We're back to the Fukushima story. You know, the nuclear disaster that was the worst accident in recent history only to be somewhat whitewashed out of existence. Let's just forget for a moment that it still hasn't been fixed, that it is still pouring radiation into the Pacific Ocean, that experts still don't know how to solve the problem, or even where the cores might be. Let's forget that the Pacific Ocean has had a massive animal diet since 2011, from the little creatures in the food chain all the way up to the big guys. For instance, Fukushima Watch has noted that whales have been dropping like flies in the Gulf of Alaska. Approximately 9 whale carcasses were sighted in late May and early June. Now fishermen have spotted 5 more decomposing whales, a fin whale and 4 humpbacks, to add to that death toll. And that is just Alaska. Stories up and down America's local West Coast newspapers tell the same tale. Stories of mysterious, large-scale animal die-offs with questionable causes of death, like the rare ore fish in Southern California, or the seabirds in Oregon, or the sea lion pups in Washington, or the dead walruses. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Now, DW is reporting that the UK has just signed a deal with China and France to build the first new nuclear power station in a generation in the UK. According to England, it's a strategic move to help keep the lights on long term. In fact, it goes on to report that the government in London said it believed the project would secure reliable, low-carbon electricity and create many new jobs. So there you have it. It seems as if governments around the world have chosen nuclear power stations to fulfill their energy needs. But have they taken the risks into account? So, what do you think, dear listeners? Should the world pursue nuclear energy?